Bibles, please, to the book of Job, the 39th chapter. Job chapter 39, page 595 in your Schofield Bible. While you're finding that place, a couple of announcements. There's a white Buick Regal with Indiana plates 96H903. It's blocking a vehicle that must leave immediately. The car is in the gravel parking lot across the alley behind the auditorium. And this announcement, funeral services for Emma Patterson, mother of our Jack Patterson, will be tomorrow at 2 p.m. at the Risco Funeral Home, 7100 Michigan Avenue in Detroit. And Jack Patterson is with us this morning in this service. As I understand it, he'll be conducting his own mother's funeral service. So pray for our brother Jack Patterson. Well, we'll be reading verses 19 through 25 of the 39th chapter of Job. We'll read these verses responsively, starting with verse 19. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley, and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear, and is not affrighted, neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage, neither believeth he that is the sound of the trumpet. And let's read the 25th together also. He saith among the trumpets, Ha ha! And he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. And let's pray. And Father, you've given us a wonderful day. Concerning the weather, we would not, of course, call it wonderful. But concerning the opportunity for us to gather in this place once again, it's wonderful. What a blessed privilege, and what a joy to thy children. Bless, we pray, those who meet with us. We pray for the visitors, that thou wouldst bless them. We pray for those who need thy message of hope today. We pray for those who need thy strength and encouragement. Bless our preacher toward that end, that every need would be satisfied in this so great an audience. God bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want you to turn back again to Job 39 and just keep your Bibles open there through the sermon, please. I'm going to come back to it a few times. I'm going to give you a little outline here before I pray and bring the message. God is talking here about a horse that's in a valley. And it says in verse number 19, Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. Now he puts the horse in a valley. What does a horse do when he gets in a valley? He paweth in the valley. Then it says, And rejoiceth in his strength. Then it says, He goeth on to meet the armed men. Then it says, He mocketh at fear, and is not affrighted, neither turneth he back from the sword. I love verse 15, what the horse says, and he goes into battle. He saith among the trumpets, Ha ha. For as I know, that's the only time ha ha is mentioned in the Bible. People don't laugh, horses laugh. And but the horse goes to battle. He's in the valley, he's pawing in the valley, and he says, Ha ha. I want you to leave your Bibles open there. I'll come back to it later. Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this morning. We only have one service on Sunday morning. Many of our people have to work tonight. I pray you'd feed our hungry souls and strengthen our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Everything was wonderful for Job. If ever a man had it good, as we say, Job did. Had it all. He had possessions uncountable and innumerable. He was a respected man. People would bow as he walked by. Perhaps the most honorable man of his community or of his city. He had a big family. He had 10 children. They were healthy. No doubt some of the children, if not all, were grown now, married. He had a loving wife. And Job was in wonderful health. He had some friends that were very dear to him. And Job was on top side. Everything was wonderful for Job. Then suddenly the valley called. All of his possessions were taken. Job went from wealth to poverty in just a few minutes. He had no insurance on his crops. He had no insurance on his animals. Folks hadn't found out about that back in those days. That's back in the days when God, we trusted God instead of the government. But Job, in a few minutes, he went from wealth to poverty. Lost his camels. And by the way, you judge poverty in those days, not by stocks and bonds, but by land and by camels and horses and so forth. All of his camels were taken. Thousands of animals. His donkeys were taken. Oxen, all, everything. Lost everything. From being the wealthiest man in the city, in a few minutes he went to the poorest man in the city. He's in the valley. But while he's in the valley, he says, thank God I still have my children. I still have a loving wife. I still have my health. And I still have my friends. And by the way, that's not a bad way to look at it. Look at what you have and not what you don't have. One of the most important sermons I ever preached behind this pulpit, I think, was years ago when I preached on the subject, 9 out of 10 is not bad. I divided life into 10 different segments. And then I went through those segments and I said, if you have 9 out of 10 of these that are good, then you're way above average. And anything above 5 or above is certainly marvelous. And so, Job did not look at what he had lost. He looked at what he had kept. And Job was in the valley, just as many of you are this morning. He was in the valley. And Job said, but I still have my children. I still have my wife. I still have my friends. I still have my health. He climbed back up the top. My sermon this morning is called Back to the Valley. He climbed out of the valley and climbed to the top of the valley. And just about the time he got on top of the valley beckoned again. In one great storm, all of Job's children were taken by death. The other day we were shocked in our newspapers to read about the family of 10 over in South Chicago, I think it was, who were killed because of carbon monoxide poisoning. And Job's, all 10 children, all of them at one time, can you feature that? If you have more than one child, can you feature all of them being taken at one time? Back to the valley. Can you see a little funeral chapel? Can you see 10 boxes lined up, one beside the other? Can you see a husband and wife sitting here on the front? Can you see them as they walk by, and one by one they look in the faces of the corpses of their children? Back in the valley. Job had been there before. Now he's back again. And all of a sudden he says, thank God. I've lost my wealth. I've lost my children. But thank God I've still got my health, my wife, and my friends. He climbs back up to the top again. And just about the time he gets up to the top, the valley beckons again. And suddenly, Job is attacked by leprosy. Perhaps the most dread disease that man can have would be leprosy. And Job was attacked by leprosy. He was so sick and so sore, are you listening, that every spot of his body was covered by running sores. And just to be very crude about it, pus was running all over his body. In those days, they had public rags, like we have public water fountains and public washrooms. A leper would walk down the street and take one of those public rags tied maybe to some little post of some kind and wipe the corruption off his body on those public rags. By the way, that's what Isaiah 64:6 means when it says our righteousness is like filthy rags. It means the best things we do are tainted with sin and like the pus-filled rags that the leper used. Now Job has leprosy. Back in the valley again. He climbed to the top and all of a sudden the valley beckoned again and back in the valley again. He is so his disease is so painful that he flees to the city garbage dump. And there sits in the embers of the garbage dump, because even the fire from the embers of the garbage gives him some relief from the pain of his body. Back in the valley. But Job said, I still have my wife. I still have my loyal, faithful, loving wife. He climbs back up again. He had climbed out of the valley before, after he had lost his possessions, and the valley beckoned again. He climbed out of the valley after he had lost his children, and the valley beckoned again. He climbed out of the valley after he had lost his health, and the valley beckons again. His wife comes and looks at his condition as he sits there in the city dump. And his wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? What she's saying was, I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. How don't you just curse God? He caused this and die. I'm tired of all the trouble. Die. And once again, Job is back in the valley. In the valley because he lost his possessions. Back to the top. Back to the valley. When he lost his children, back to the top. Back to the valley. When he lost his health, back to the top. Now back to the valley. He loses his wife's loyalty. But Job says, I've still got my friends. I've still got faithful, loyal friends. And by the way, there's nothing dearer or sweeter in this world than good friends. I'm not talking about acquaintances. I'm talking about folks that stick with you when you're in the garbage dump. I'm talking about folks that stick with you when you've lost your children and lost your wife and lost your reputation. Nothing better than that. And Job said, as he climbed to try once again to get back on top, he climbed back on top and said, I've still got my friends. But all of a sudden the valley beckoned again. And Job's friends came to see him. And one said to Job, what have you done? You've sinned. That's why you're suffering. One said to Job, you're not deep enough. You're too shallow. That's why you're suffering. One said to Job, you've not been baptized with the Holy Ghost. And you've not talked in tongues. And you've not had enough ecstatic experiences. That's why you're suffering. Never dawn on you that God calls some people to the ministry of suffering? I can't watch one of these charismatic telecasts on a television set. All these good health and good wealth fellas, you send your money to me, and little widows out there who are hurting, they send their money. Look, folks, they say, put your hand on the television set and you'll be healed. Man, I've sat down on that television set before, laid across that thing before. I'm saying that God calls some people to suffer like he calls some people to preach. And the Bible talks about the ministry of suffering. But Job is back in the valley. Now, wait a minute. God comes to him. By the way, let me say this. Some of you are the same way. You've been in the valley, and you climbed out, and the valley pulled you back in again. And it just seemed like, as the writer said, deep calleth unto deep. You call to the valley, you climb back up the top, and about the time you get on top again, something else hits you, and you're back in the valley again. And you climb the top, you get over a little bit, and you get used to maybe the valley, and you climb back the top. You say, thank God I'm on the top again, and all of a sudden something comes and pulls you back to the valley again. God comes to Job, and he comes to you this morning. And God says to Job, Job, I want to talk to you about a horse. I want to talk to you about a horse. This horse is in the valley.
Now, Job, I want you to get a lesson out of this horse. He said, what does a horse do when he's in the valley? He said, he keeps on pawing. Keeps on pawing. He may not be making any progress, but he keeps on pawing. I mean, he may just paw and paw and paw and paw, and they're not getting any traction at all. It may take him a long time to get enough traction and move a foot, but you won't find a horse is still in the valley. And God said to Job, Job, keep on pawing. Keep on pawing. I say this morning, keep on pawing. You know, Brother Howes, I'm in the valley. Keep on pawing. But you say, preacher, I don't know how to get out. Okay, maybe you can't get out, but you can try to get out, and you keep on pawing.
When I think about this, I think about Lester Roloff. Many of you thought about that this morning. He stood behind his pulpit and preached one of his great exegesis of the Bible and on pawing in the valley. He preached at pastor school one year. And Brother Roloff's sermons didn't make any sense. He read a text and said nothing about it for an hour and a half. I'll never forget that Sunday morning he was here as a guest. And they had a wall right here then. We're sitting about right here. He looked over at me and he said, Brother Jack, I've got something I never had before. He was so proud of himself. I said, what is it? He said, an outline. I said, Brother, look at me now. Listen while I'm preaching. Look at me. I said, let me see it. He showed it to me. It's one little 3x5 card about like this with 8 words on the card, just one under the other. That morning he preached for an hour and a half, never mentioned one of those 8 words at all. But what do you do when he preached that sermon, Paul in the Valley? He'd just say anything he wanted to say and then stop and say, Paul in the Valley, Paul in the Valley. That's all he did. But I think about him. And brother, if there was anybody kept on pawing in the valley, it was Lester Roloff. I mean, Lester Roloff got voted out of his denomination. And I mean, I was there. I know all about it because I followed him shortly afterwards. And he had to leave his denomination. But brother, he didn't whine. He kept on pawing in the valley. Pawing in the valley. He didn't lay down in the valley. He pawed in the valley. He didn't whine in the valley. He pawed in the valley. And God says to Job, Job, okay, the valley calls you again. You get down there, he said, just keep on pawing. One of these days you'll get enough traction, maybe get yourself on the top again, but in the valley, just keep on pawing. Don't have a pity party, just keep on pawing. And I'm talking to folks this morning who are in the valley, and God is saying to you, as he said to Job, be like a horse. When you get in the valley, just keep on pawing. Paw in the valley. Brother Roloff then, dirty rumors were spread across the country about him. Unbelievable rumors. Lies. Filthy lies. And Brother Roloff was in the valley again. But he kept on pawing in the valley. And then he had the homes down in Corpus Christi, Texas, and the state of Texas. I mean, listen, everybody was after Brother Roloff. You wouldn't believe it. In those days, Southern Baptists hated his intestines and some of his guts. And yet he kept on pawing in the valley. Independent Baptist said he was a Pentecostal because he believed in anointing folks with oil and God would heal folks. But he kept on pawing in the valley. And the governor of the state got after him, but Brother Roloff just kept on pawing in the valley. And the state legislature got after him, but he kept on pawing in the valley. I remember that day, they're going to close his homes that day. They're going to bring the state militia in there to close his homes. And we flew down there. Some of you guys with me. Are you with me, Doc? And with the coastline. We flew down there. And I got to tell the truth now because I got the guys that were there. And it's pretty hard. It limits your preaching greatly. But we flew down there. Russell Anderson chartered a jet plane for us and flew us down there. And the state was going to come. Brother Roloff told the people, said, get outside the buildings and form a circle and just stand there. And if the state militia comes, they'll have to attack you. Don't fight them back. Just make them attack you. He said to me, now you go in there in the building and preach. I said, how long? He said, as long as you have to. I'll tell you when to stop. He put those little orphan kids in there inside the building and told me to preach to them until the enemy came. And I preached on knocked down, but not knocked out.
And I preached, and I preached, and I preached, and I preached. And what was Lester doing? He was in the valley. What was he doing? Whining? No. Complaining? No. Pawing, pawing, pawing in the valley. Pawing, trying to get out of the valley. Pawing in the valley. Pawing in the valley. May I say this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if the valley is your habitat today, and your dwelling place is down in the valley, you may not can get out, but you can paw in the valley. And God said to Job, Job, you're in the valley, and you got out. You got back in the valley, and you got out. You got back in the valley and you got out. Now, Job, you're in the valley. He said, I want you to keep on pawing. Keep on pawing. I have to think about my mother when I think about this. From valley to valley. Valley and back on top. And back in the valley. And back on top. And her mother died when she was 9. She was in the valley, but she got married. Back on top. But her husband turned to liquor. And she's back in the valley, but she climbed back on top. They lost a little store. It was bankrupt in the depression. And back in the valley, but she kept on pawing. And they had a baby, and she's back on top. But the baby died when she was 7 because she's afflicted. And back in the valley, but she kept on pawing. And she climbed back on top, had a second baby. She died of the measles when she was 7. And mother's back in the valley, but she kept on pawing. And the depression came, but she kept on pawing and kept on pawing. And I'm standing here today preaching to you for one great reason, because a little 100-pound giant of courage kept on pawing when she was in the valley. Now, Mama, you listen to me. Keep on pawing. Widow, you listen to me. Keep on pawing. Mother, rearing your children by yourself, keep on pawing. Dad, having trouble providing for your family, keep on pawing. No pitying, no self-pity, no quitting, no laying down in the valley, no sleeping in the valley, no sitting down in the valley, no discouragement in the valley, pawing in the valley. God said something else about that horse. Look at it, if you would, please. Verse number 22. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. Hey, look at me a minute. The old horse is down there in the valley, can't get out. And he says, I'm going to paw. Wait a minute. He cannot get traction to get out of that valley. But he can say, look how strong I am. I'm pawing. He's saying, you can put me in the valley, but you can't take my strength away. You can put me in the valley, but my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheth me. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, the devil may put you in a valley, and the enemy may put you in a valley, and sickness may put you in a valley, but rejoice. God's strength is available and sufficient. Rejoice in the strength that God has given you. Rejoice in the valley. The horse is down in the valley. He's pawing in the valley. And then look at verse number 21 again. He paweth in the valley, rejoiceth in his strength. I like this. He goeth out to meet the armed men. Look at me. I don't believe in starting a fight. Nor do I believe in running from a fight. I've been battling for 44 years. I've never started a fight. Never have. I've never started one of my battles. I used to have Brother Roloff. He likes to fight. I don't. He wanted to be in Fox's Book of Martyrs. I want to be in Guinness Book of Records. I'm just not like. I told Brother Roloff, if a bullet came through this room this morning, you'd jump in front of it to die a martyr. I'd hide in the pulpit if one came in here this morning. I'm saying I don't like to fight. I've never started to fight. But bless God, in 44 years of battles, nobody's ever seen my backside. See what I said? Nobody's ever seen my backside. I don't like to fight. I don't want to fight. I don't start fights, but I don't run from them either. You put me in the valley, I'll keep on pawing. And you put me in the valley, I'll keep on thanking God for the strength that God has given me. And you put me in the valley, I'll keep on fighting. I'm saying this morning, some of you, from valley to valley, you climb up on the top and back to the valley. You climb on the top, back to the valley. You climb on the top, back to the valley. God said, Job, I know that. I know what you've been through. I know you lost your wealth and got up. And I know you had to go back to the valley because you lost your children. But you got up. But I know you had to go back to the valley because you lost your health. But you got up. I know you had to go back to the valley because you lost your wife. But you got up. I know you had to go back to the valley because you lost your friends. But you got up. Hey, listen. Job didn't have a friend in the world. Not a friend. Well, I've got friends all over America. I've got people in this room that die for me. Wish I knew who they were. But I've got friends. Job didn't have a friend in the world. He was a laughing stock of the town. Little children laughed at him in the ash heap. He was a reproach in his city. His friends came and forsook him. And God comes to Job with no friends, and his wife turned on him, and his children dead, and his health gone, and his wealth gone, and his popularity gone, and his power gone. And God said, Job, listen to me. You're in the valley. He said, keep on pawing. Pawing, pawing, keep on pawing, keep on pawing. What does he say? He's going to keep on trying. I'll talk to you another day. He said, Brother Howells, my wife and children are about to starve. They're going to turn off our heat. What do you do from the house? Excommunicate them? Evict them, yeah. You're gonna expel them from the house. He said, we don't have any food at home. By the way, we have food here at the church. If you're going to need canned goods, then we'll feed you if you have to be fed. But he said, I can't find work. And I said, how many hours have you beat the pavement? Pawing in the valley. Pawing in the valley. This church would be dead right now if Brother Howells hadn't kept pawing in the valley. This church would be dead right now if the people in this room hadn't kept pawing in the valley. I said to this fellow, I said, how many places have you been? He said, I've called several. I said, you lazy rascal, you. You ought to get down here on Holman Avenue and go to from every door to door. You stop at every restaurant. You stop at every hotel. You stop at every store. You stop at every place of business. And you walk in there and you tell them, I'll be the best employee that you ever had. And I want to go to work, and I've got to go to work. And I said, you do that 10 hours a day. Beat the pavement. Go place to place. I called in an ad in the newspaper. Well, bless God, that's not pouring in the valley. Pour in the valley. Keep on going. And then God said to Job, he said, keep fighting. Rejoice in your strength. Look down to verse number 22. He mocketh at fear. The horse mocketh at fear. A horse in battle is not afraid. His rider may be, but the horse is not afraid. I'm going to confess a sin. Get your papers out, Hammond Times reporters. I'm going to confess, and back here, sir, get your paper out. I'm going to confess a sin. You ready? Back in the olden days, I used to go to movies. They weren't like they are now. Tom Mix is my hero. This is pre-Roy Rogers days. And I'd watch those fellows shooting in the war, you know. And guys would get shot and drop off their horses. And I used to sit there and wonder, why don't any of those bullets have hit those horses? I mean, here's a guy sitting on a horse. All you got to do is just go about an inch low and you hit the horse. But no horse ever dropped. They kept on running. Remember that? You're confessing your sin now. But I'm saying the horse is not afraid of battle. The horse, I love this, the horse looked at his enemies and said, ha, ha. Ha, ha. God said to Job, you got problems? Keep on pawing. God said to Job, you got problems? Sit down there in the middle of that valley and rejoice that you can still paw. Rejoice in your strength. You got problems? He said, keep on fighting. Keep on going. Don't turn back. Don't stop. He said, you in the valley, Job? He said, look at your enemies and go, ha ha. A horse does. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And if you are afraid, keep on going. I'm talking to folks this morning, griping in the valley. Paul didn't say that. He said, Paul didn't write this. But Paul didn't say that. Statement was true. God didn't say to Job, gripe in the valley. He didn't say to Job, complain in the valley. He didn't say to Job, blame God in the valley. He didn't say to... Hey, by the way, you can't go home from college without showing your backside. And it says right here, neither turneth he back from the sword. Neither turneth he back. Real men don't turn back. I guess I can understand, and listen to me carefully, I'm going to skin the fire to some of you. I guess I can understand a little wife getting discouraged who lives in an attic, sharing it with two kids and four big rats while one's working. I guess I can understand if her husband comes home and says, we're turning back and going back home. I guess I could come pretty close to understanding that as long as she didn't nag him, make him do it. She's, of course, a real man. She couldn't make him do it. I guess I can understand some little children going back with mama and daddy, turning back. But I cannot even remotely comprehend a man that turns back. I understand it. I just don't understand it. By cracky, show your manhood. You don't, men don't turn back. Men keep on going. God pity the women who got mice out there for husbands. You don't watch it, you'll eat a piece of cheese, you'll get caught in a trap, and it'd be a good thing for your wife if you did. What are you, a man or a mouse? Men don't turn back. Men don't run. The other day I was driving down the highway. This truck came over and pulled me over to the side. I said a few choice words to him. Like, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. He gets out of the truck. I get out of the car. You know what happened? He ran. Folks, that really didn't happen. I may be stubborn. I may not be brilliant, and I'm dead sure I'm not perfect. But brother, I told you how many pounds of man I am. I'm not going to tell you. But there ain't an ounce of sissy in me. And there's not an ounce of turn back in me. And there's not an ounce of quit in me. Brother, you get me in the bottom of the valley where I can't ever get out, I can still paw. What does it mean? I can still try. I love that little story about the little boy had a BB gun, was shooting up at the sky. And the fellow walked up and said, what you shooting at? He said, the moon. He said, you can't hit the moon with a BB gun. He said, no, sir, but I'm coming closer than you are. I may not can win, but I can paw. Job was in the valley and up and back to 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 the valley. Job had lost everything at the bottom. God said, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about a horse. I want to show you a horse. I want to put him in the valley like you are. I want you to see what he does. He keeps pawing. And Job, you keep pawing. And First Baptist member, you keep pawing. He said, now Job, second thing about that horse, he's proud of his strength. He rejoices in his strength. You heard people say, boy, he's strong as a horse. He said, third thing about that horse goes to the battle. Doesn't start it, but when the enemy comes and attacks, that horse goes to the battle. And he said, the fourth thing about that horse, he never turns back. I said, Job, that's for you. Don't turn back. Keep on going. Rejoice in the strength you have. Don't start it, but don't quit. And then he said, Job, in the valley, do like the horse does. Keep on pawing in the valley. Keep on pawing in the valley. Our Heavenly Father,